Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
After King David of Israel moved the Ark of the Covenant to a specially prepared tent next to his palace of cedar wood in Jerusalem, David went to battle against the surrounding nations, as recorded in the Bible in 2 Samuel chapter 8. Wherever he fought, the Lord gave David victory in each and every battle. As David extended Israel's boundary in every direction, the territory he conquered came to equal the area of land that God had originally promised to Abraham, Moses, and Joshua. Through these battles, God finally fulfilled his covenant promise to give the Israelites a land of their own, which now extended from the river of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. In the previous chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, it says that the Lord gave David rest from all his enemies around about Israel. As David reflected on how beautiful his palace was, he lamented that God's ark still remained in a tent nearby. David decided to build a magnificent temple for God. He spoke to Nathan the prophet about building such an important project. Just as Saul had been aided by the prophet Samuel and David earlier by the prophet Gad, now the prophet Nathan had become the leading advisor to David, the ruler of Israel. Nathan knew that the Lord was with David and responded by encouraging him to do whatever he planned. Nathan assumed that the Lord would help David with whatever he had in mind. But God came and spoke to Nathan that night.
I came immediately to make them known unto thee.
Then God does approve of my plan to build him a permanent temple.
He is well pleased with the idea.
But he doesn't want me to build it.
From thy earliest youth, O king, thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Therefore the Lord does not wish for thee to build him a house. But a son shall be born unto thee, O king. He shall be a man of rest and peace. For the Lord shall give him peace with the nations round about. He shall build a house unto the name of God.
I had looked forward to building the temple. It would bring great honor and glory to God and to Israel. But I submit my will to the will of God.
It is a wonderful thing, O king, to submit one's hopes and desires to the will of God. It is a rare thing, even among God's own people. Often people are so set upon accomplishing the work which they have set their hearts upon that they refuse to yield the accomplishment of that work to another. They cling with desperate energy to that which they want to do, vainly endeavoring to accomplish that which they are incapable of doing, while that which they might do lies neglected. Blessings and prosperity follow thee all the days of thy life, David, thou friend of God.
O Lord God of Israel, who am I that thou hast brought me up from tending sheep? For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them.
God had always been pleased to dwell symbolically in a tent, and he'd never asked the people of Israel to build him a temple. David had misunderstood what God's priorities were. David was thinking of building a beautiful place like the other nations had built for their pagan gods. But God wanted David to be a faithful shepherd to his chosen people Israel, and not focused on a massive building program. The message that the Lord gave to Nathan for King David was a special commendation to David for wanting to build a magnificent house for him. But he also said that David wasn't the right man to do this because he was a man of war and had been responsible for much bloodshed. Instead, David's son would build such a place, and God would be like a father to that son. For God would keep this man safe and see that his dynasty continued forever. In saying this, God was pointing ahead to Jesus Christ, his son, who would come to earth born of David's royal line, and that Christ's kingdom would be eternal. This is most important to know. the Almighty Creator of the universe had reached down to sinful earth and selected one man, Abraham, to found a nation called Israel that God had predetermined to be his own. One of the most amazing revelations in the scriptures is God's statement to Israel and to us who are Christians. God said in Hebrews chapter 8, "I will be your God and you will be my people." This promise is at the very center of God's covenant with Israel and with us who believe in God's covenant of salvation in Christ that he offers to the world. When God made this promise to David about David's son, it was really a covenant and the last of the Old Testament covenants that God made with his people. There were two parts to this Davidic covenant that Nathan the prophet received from God and gave to David. In the first part, God reminded David that he was the one who had transformed David from being a lowly shepherd of sheep into a privileged shepherd of Israel, and that God himself would be with David wherever he went. God told David that he would make David's name great. Yet this greatness wasn't to be used for David's personal benefit, but for the people that he ruled. And secondly, God also told David that he would establish an eternal house or dynasty for David. This promise extended to David's descendants and would be an everlasting kingdom. Initially, this promise related to Solomon, David's son, because it would be Solomon who would build a temple or house for the Lord for the people to come and worship God there. When Nathan related the vision he'd received from the Lord, God used the word forever a number of times to indicate that David's descendants extended much further than his son Solomon, who at that time hadn't even been born. We now know that what God was promising to David was not primarily an earthly kingdom, but rather an eternal spiritual kingdom that would only be established by David's greatest son, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Apart from the word forever, God's promise concerning Solomon did come true. Solomon did build the temple, his kingdom was established, and Solomon ruled in Israel during the greatest years of its history. Now let's go back and take a look at the covenants or agreements that God made with his people. Some Bible scholars say that the first of the Old Testament covenants was made in the Garden of Eden when God made the first man and woman to be rulers of the earth. After they had sinned against God with devastating consequences for their disobedience, God promised that a child of the woman would one day defeat the serpent that represented Satan that day. The second covenant was made with Noah, when God promised him and his family not to destroy the world again with a huge flood. The third covenant was with Abraham, when God promised to make Abraham's descendants a great nation and be their God, and that he would give them their own land. The fourth covenant was made at Mount Sinai after the Israelites had left Egypt, where God made the whole nation of Israel his special people. The fifth was a Levitical covenant with Phinehas the priest, in which God promised to provide Israel with a faithful priesthood. And the last Old Testament covenant was with David, when God promised to establish his throne forever. One way of looking at those six covenants is to see them as one great covenant of God's grace unfolding over human history. At different stages of history, God extended this covenant to meet the people's changing circumstances. But at every stage, God, in his grace, provided a means for men and women to enter into a covenant relationship with him, through which he could bless them and invite them into fellowship with himself. The final and greatest covenant God made with all of mankind is the New Covenant, established through the death and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The entire Old Testament points to this New Covenant, and it's the main subject of the New Testament. Those people who trust in the Lord Jesus believe Jesus Christ to be the one eternal ruler from David's dynasty. Can this be proved today? In Matthew chapter 1, the ancestors of Jesus Christ are listed from the time of Abraham, which includes King David and Solomon. This list finishes with Joseph, the man engaged to be married to the Virgin Mary, the future mother of Jesus, even though Joseph was not physically related to Jesus. In the end of Luke chapter 3, there's another list of Jesus' ancestors, which is the same between Abraham and David, but then differs greatly from David onward. The Bible book of Matthew records Joseph's genealogy, while Luke records Mary's. Matthew follows the line of Joseph, that's Jesus' legal father, down from David's son Solomon, while Luke follows the line of Mary, that's Jesus' blood relative, through David's son Nathan. Since there was no Greek word for son-in-law, Joseph was called the son of Heli by his marriage to Mary, Heli's daughter. Through both Mary's or Joseph's lines, Jesus is a descendant of David and therefore eligible to be the Messiah promised in the Old Testament covenants. Tracing a genealogy through the mother's side is unusual, but so too was Jesus' virgin birth. Luke's explanation in his book, Luke chapter 3, is that Jesus was the son of Joseph, or so it was thought. In the Bible, God only ever called two people his servant. Moses was one and David the other. After Nathan the prophet had delivered God's message to David, David went to the tent of the Lord and sat down before the Lord to pray. David started by expressing his amazement that God would speak such wonderful things to him, a mere human from a very ordinary family. David also accepted that it wasn't God's will for him to build a temple for God, and he didn't try to change God's plan for it. He accepted that God knew best. David worshipped God, emphasizing his greatness and grace. David repeatedly referred to himself as God's servant, even though he was a king. We need to ask, who are we that God should save us through Christ and bless us so? Christians must never allow pride to puff up a sense of their own importance because God has blessed them greatly. When God made his covenants, he placed conditions on some. If the people were to enjoy his covenant blessings, then covenant conditions had to be met. The conditions for David's covenant were that the ruling king had to be faithful and obedient to the Lord's commands. If Solomon and his descendants disobeyed God, which they did, then they would lose the privilege of being God's representatives on earth. They would instead lose their kingdom, as well as the right to call God their father and know his love. In his unfailing, great love for people, God is willing to take you into his kingdom when you trust in Christ, no matter how bad your past sins have been. Sinless Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins. When you believe this truth and confess it, God gives you his Holy Spirit to live in your life and reform you from your old evil character. Each day, do everything you can to find your joy and peace in him as you follow what God says in the Bible. Live your life to honor and serve him faithfully. David's prayer was based on God's promises. God will honor our prayers too when we base them on his word and not simply on our wishes. If our requests to God are motivated by giving him the glory and a love for our neighbors, without offense or ill will towards those who've wronged us, then we can be assured that God will accept our prayers and answer them according to his infinite wisdom and mercy. Have you entered into a personal covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and received an eternal inheritance of living forever with him, free from all sin, sadness, sickness, and death? Like King David did, have you handed over your future plans to Jesus? To do such requires a complete trust that Jesus knows what's best for you, for Christ's victorious defeat over all sin and death makes him fully worthy of guiding you in all of God's ways. For those who have, continue asking Jesus daily to forgive your mistakes and give you his heart of righteousness, mercy, and forgiveness towards others. If you don't have a Bible, but you have a smartphone, you can download for free a copy of the Bible onto your phone. Bible Gateway and Prayer Mate are two apps that you can try to download. As there are different types of phones, if you have any trouble doing this, ask someone you know to do an internet search for a Bible app that is suitable for your phone, but be aware there are nearly 40 translations available and caution is recommended. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.